Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm your host, Michael Keegan, and our conversation continues with Ambassador Elizabeth Frawley Bagley, Special Representative, Global Partnership Initiative at the U.S. Department of State. Also joining us for IBM is Bonnie Glick.
In the past, government engagement with faith communities has been a little bit ad hoc, a little bit uncoordinated, without a strategic focus necessarily. Can you describe GPI's efforts to pursue interfaith partnerships with various faith communities for the common good? And how can meaningful partnerships with faith communities help the United States achieve its foreign affairs aims?
Well, it's an interesting question because I think this president has recognized, certainly through the campaign, that faith-based communities were really important, and that his message of faith was one that resonated throughout the country. Hillary Clinton has always been involved in faith-based communities throughout her life, working with NGOs and of course with her deep Methodist faith as well. For my part, established a group called Catholics in Alliance for the Common Good, which brought together Catholics around social justice issues. So I have a particular interest in this area. So in the beginning of my tenure here in this new job, I addressed the President's Advisory Council on Faith-Based and Neighborhood Partnerships and actually worked with them on some challenges that they were addressing. I knew many of the people at the table, and it was an amazing group of, it was rabbis and Catholic priests and Lutheran ministers and Hindu priests and Muslims. It was quite an amazing group of leaders. And they actually released a report just last week called A New Era of Partnerships. And it's really all about encouraging the administration to reach out to religions, to have task forces on multi-religious affairs, to have faith-based and civil society engagement officers in the field, on the ground, to integrate religion into trainings, into foreign service officer training. And their argument was, and I think it was absolutely valid, that they have outreach into communities, into poor communities, and, because they work so much on poverty issues, that they have access to people that we don't necessarily have access to, or that we should, but we don't. We work more with maybe middle class, and certainly our USAID mission works with the poor, but not to the extent that they do. And they have relationships that we may not have on the ground. So they are a really valuable resource, and one in I accepted their report last week. I went back to the White House, and they had just released their report, so we talked about it, and I totally agree with their recommendations, and I think the president will too. We're working with Tony Blair's organization. He has a faith foundation as well, and I actually introduced him at Yale. They did a program on faith and dialogue, and we're going to be working with him as well. So I think it's another organization another group of organizations that we can really partner with that could really make a difference. And it can be, add to the sustainability of what we're trying to do on the ground with our embassies.
The Global Partnership Initiative, having impact and achieving outcomes are essential for it to be successful. How are you assessing the performance of already established partnerships to ensure that they're meeting stated goals and outcomes? And I know it's only been a year, but have you had any lessons learned from this year?
The phrase, you measure what matters, is important. We don't have a metric system. We haven't put that into place. But, and I know businesses do, and it's probably a very good approach. It's more difficult for us because we're more being part of the government is challenging in and of itself with the bureaucracy. So if I had to have a magic wand, I would get rid of the bureaucracy and it would make it easier for us to operate on a lot of levels. But it's always a challenge, even working with USAID. We're trying to, through this QDDR that the secretary advanced starting in the beginning, it's the Quadrennial Development and Diplomacy Review. It came from Gates's, the Defense Department always has a Quadrennial Defense Review, so we added another D and started this. And we have actually been happen. It's what Jack Lew and the secretary called the whole of government approach. So we're working with the USAID to try to streamline our methods and our working relationship. And it's hard because there are different focuses. It's different cultures. We do diplomacy as well as development. They do development and they have a lot of money. They also have contractors that they have to really evaluate, and we don't on our side. We're trying. We're supposed to be all one big happy family, but it doesn't, you know, always work that way. Although I think with Raj Shah being the new director and being so close to the secretary and also, you know, one handpicked by her, but someone who really understands policy and he knows the outside world. He was with Gates. He understands he was at the Department of Agriculture. He really gets both government and the private sector and foundation world. So I think it's going to be a very good relationship. So we're working together to try to make it easier for us to advance the goals of this administration. So I think, you know, in terms of what works, we've had, you know, very good results with corporations. And I think it's easier to work with them on the ground because we already have that relationship. And I think if we can scale it up, that will make it even more effective and productive. So at this point, we're still in a learning process, but we're learning what really doesn't work, and we're trying to get rid of some of the red tape that are just inherent in a bureaucracy, and, you know, try to work together and be more transparent.
Given your perspective, how can partnerships empower Foreign Service officers to innovate, engage, and manage in more far-reaching and high-impact ways that were previously impossible?
I think Foreign Service officers have been trained to do, you know, they, as you know, being a former Foreign Service officer, there are cones, you know, political cone, economic cone, consular cone, and of course, commercial officers. And I think we're trying to get away from that because I think it's so important for them to not just be in their own little silos, but be able to work more closely together. And everything is cross currents anyway, cross-cutting. I think public-private partnerships should absolutely be integrated into each of the Foreign Service officers' portfolios. And we're trying to do that, and we're advocating a change in the way we look at public-private partnerships and the way the Foreign Service Institute actually teaches. If they could have a course, a mandatory course on public-private partnerships before it was young Foreign Service officers coming in, if that could be integrated into their efficiency report that they have to give and their employment reviews, then they will have the incentives to be able to know that this is an integral part of our foreign policy and that they need to show something for their efforts or they won't get promoted. You know, if you bring it into the promotional process, bottom line, you then are encouraging them and showing the value of what we're talking about on every level. We've done some training for Foreign Service officers. We've actually done training on diaspora with our desk officers from every bureau. So that'll be an important learning device. And I think in general, we have to just make it clear that this is a priority of this secretary, but I think a priority, a future priority for now and in the future, because it reflects the changing world, the global marketplace, and the fact that everything is interconnected and that we all need to act together and the government can't do it all. And I think it's going to be really important for us. We're hoping to create an award for partnerships. Now, the State Department has inaugurated a lot of different awards, and I think this would be a really important signal to all Foreign Service officers that this is something that we really, you know, value highly and that the Secretary sees as a major priority.
Well, turning to the future, Ambassador, what trends do you see over the next few years in the evolution of private-public partnerships? And what advice would you have for private sector organizations that want to partner in this initiative?
Everything. I think globalization is only going to get more and more important. And I think obviously the businesses, corporations like yours understand that better than anyone on the ground, knowing that this is, you know, something that we need to reach out and touch the people that we're trying to serve. We have our constituencies, and that is those are the people that we serve in embassies around the world, as well as the U.S. taxpayers. We do get paid by the U.S. taxpayer. We are there to represent the United States government in all forms, and I think the best way in which we can do that is to extend our reach. And we can only extend our reach by reaching out to other organizations, other stakeholders like corporations, like foundations, like faith-based communities and diasporas and NGOs. Because in doing that, we can all work together for a common goal. And I think it just makes it so much easier to effect change.
You've had a wonderful career. What advice would you give to a person who's considering a career in public service?
Oh, I think it's the best in the world. I've always been fascinated by politics. My father is still alive. He was a judge for 50 years, and he is a New York State judge. Always had to run every 4 years, so I started when I was five, helping to run his campaign with signs and everything else with my seven brothers and sisters, so Irish Catholic family. So politics, you know, as Bobby Kennedy said, is an honorable profession, and I see politics is people. That's what it means. So it really translates into diplomacy and governance and outreach, and you see this in your own business. It's all about people. It's reaching out, trying to find the results, seeing a goal, and working together to advance the objectives that we set out to do. And if that is, you know, I think the most important thing one can do, to try to improve the lot of your fellow man, and also to work for the United States government, for me is one of the great privileges of my life.
Ambassador, that's terrific advice. I want to thank you for your time today, but more importantly, Bonnie and I would like to thank you for your dedicated service to our country.
Oh, thank you very much. I wanted to add that if anyone is interested in pursuing any kind of partnerships, we're most open to suggestions and to involvement by everyone from citizens to foundations to, you know, a whole range of organizations. And you just simply have to go to state.gov/partnerships for a wide range of opportunities and actually involvement. And you can sign up, and we will be happy to continue this discussion.
This has been the Business of Government Hour, featuring a conversation with Ambassador Elizabeth Frawley Bagley, Special Representative, Global Partnership Initiative at the U.S. Department of State. My co-host has been Bonnie Glick, IBM Project Executive. Be sure to join us next week for another informative, insightful, and in-depth conversation on improving government effectiveness. For the Business of Government Hour, I'm Michael Keegan, and thank you for listening.
This has been the Business of Government Hour. Be sure to join us every Saturday at 9 a.m. and visit us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. There you can learn more about our programs and get a transcript of today's conversation. Until next week, it's businessofgovernment.org.